Hello, everyone. It's Shane alongside Frankie. Welcome back to another episode of the 13th Man Podcast. And if you're aware, we didn't have our Tuesday episode because Frankie didn't want to record.
It was break time. Break time, you know?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, we've been pushing two episodes a week out for the last, 18 weeks?
Is that
what you said?
Sounds about right-ish, I think. I don't know. It's been a while. It's been a long time.
Yeah, so, you know, we thought it was a well-deserved break. There wasn't a lot of CFL news, not much to talk about. Ooh. And as you can tell, we're recording this at almost 11 o'clock on Thursday night. So we're a little bit
this
tired.
This is pretty common, Shane.
I know. But usually I don't work, almost 12 hour a day.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately it kind of is what it is at this point.
Yeah, that's true. We got some news, and we kind of talked a little bit about it on Twitter. Vernon Adams opted out of his CFL contract to opt back in a couple of days later.
Yeah, it scared me for a second because I was actually concerned that you were going to be right.
I was right. And he still opted out.
But he opted back in, so ultimately the opt-out is now nullified and nothing happened.
No, I'm still right. He opted out.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, no. I was still right. He opted out. He just realized that, he looked at his options, probably didn't think they were beneficial, and decided to opt back in to get money and to get, benefits.
Yeah, but like I said, that just kind of nullifies his opt out. Therefore,
no, it does not. It really doesn't. It still happened. It's still on league record that he opted out.
I don't know. I think we might have to let the listeners decide this one. Shane, I'm just not going to let you win this argument, so.
Yeah, no, he opted out and then opted back in. So there was that. A bunch of other players have opted out of their contracts. Cameron Judge of the Rough Riders opted out. A couple of them have just been straight out released. So it's interesting. A lot of moving pieces.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested to see who's back, because I believe Thursday at 12 was the opt-out period ending date, I think.
Yeah, that was pushed too, because it was supposed to be Monday at 12.
Yes, yeah, but I don't know, man. Props to the CFLPA and the CFL for sorting that out, because that worked really well. We didn't see an exceptionally high amount of opt-outs, but for those who had the ability to go to the NFL, they took advantage of that, and I think it was great for both ends that the CFL doesn't have a bunch of players that are pissed off because they made them stay in their contract in a season where they aren't playing, and players got to go explore their NFL options without too much CFL backlash for the time being.
Well, I mean, I also think we saw a lot of borderline players, right? Guys who probably would have been second, third string, borderline, even practice roster players opt out and decide that it was time for them to try again down south. Cameron Judge, and I mean, it makes sense too, right? Like, if you feel like there's an opportunity knocking, and if you have a steady enough job, right? If you don't need the benefits and the money from the CFL, and you're working a regular job that gives you all that, why not opt out? Why not opt out and make yourself available in case there's an injury or an opportunity that arises in week 2, 3, 4, 5?
Well, let's look at what's going on in baseball with the Miami Marlins and the St. Louis Cardinals, and a couple other teams are in the same boat as well. What is stopping one team from having a COVID outbreak and then they take a week off and the NFL's like, okay, time to get back on the field. Sucks to suck that all your players have COVID. Sign an entire new roster.
Yeah, and I think, that if you can do it, it makes sense. It makes sense to do.
Yeah. I don't there's guys that McLeod, Bethel, Thompson that you're just like, I don't know how you're going to end up on a roster. Shane, stop smirking every time I say that name. It's like you're laughing at the guy all the time.
Always.
Not fair. But you look at those kind of guys and you're like, I don't see how you're going to get a job. And then a situation pops up where somebody's quarterback gets COVID, or an entire team comes out with an outbreak, and all of a sudden McLeod Bethel Thompson might be on somebody's short list for an extra veteran quarterback that can come in that can learn the playbook in a week or two. You know, it's not out of the realm of possibility. He's competing with other XFL arms, sure.
If Bethel Thompson frigging gets on an NFL roster and actually gets on an NFL roster, not like a camp invite, nothing like that, actually is on an NFL roster on an NFL sideline, I will dye my hair pink.
That's a pretty safe bet. It's okay. So I think there's one situation where McLeod Bethel Thompson gets on the field, and that's team has COVID outbreak, team's forced to play, team needs veteran quarterback that can learn the playbook fast, and other options aren't as good when they have them in for a workout. I think that's the only situation. Everything has to go perfect for him, for him to be on a roster.
If Bethel Thompson is on a roster at some point, and like actually on a CFL sideline, or NFL sideline at some point in the 2020 season, I will dye my hair pink.
Okay, so we talked about it a little bit last time. I said Richie Leone was my the one player that I think has the best chance to make it to the NFL out of this. Has that changed for me? I don't think so. For you, I don't know if yours has changed or not, but
I think Cameron Judge. I mean, Shipley, you know, he signed with San Francisco. I think Cameron Judge could definitely get a call. Someone who needs like a linebacker or rush end or something. So I wouldn't be surprised if he does it.
Yeah, I have to agree with you though. I think Shipley probably stands the best chance now that I think about it.
Well,
I
mean, he signed a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
So like, but
as far as getting onto the field as a starter.
Oh, 100% he is. Yeah. But if it comes to just being on a roster, I mean, honestly, Bagleton, I know he was going and he wasn't really part of the CFL thing, but if we're just going to talk about CFL players in the NFL right now, you know, Zylstra and Bagleton are two guys that you need to keep an eye out.
Yeah. I think, again, like we said last week, Duke Williams is another one of them. I don't think he'll be on a roster in Buffalo just looking at what's going on right now. But I think there's going to be a team that wants Duke Williams. So those Bagleton, Zylstra, and Williams will probably all three be on a roster. So,
you know,
as far as opt-outs, though, I think Shepley's probably your guy to be a starter as far as opt-outs of the CFL goes.
And Saunders?
Jalen Saunders, yeah.
Jalen Saunders is opted out. I don't see him being on an NFL roster unless there's injuries.
No. The whole Jalen Saunders saga in Ottawa was odd. Like, they signed him after free agency. It was, I believe it was what? Probably March?
It was after COVID. Him. It was after the XFL dismantled the second time.
Yeah. But,
and they were,
man, just looking at some of the stuff that he tweeted while he was on the Red Blacks, I'm like, oh no, this might not go well.
Difference of opinion doesn't mean he can't ball.
Oh no, I agree with that. But just some of the things that he was tweeting, I'm like, oh, what are you saying? That is a frozen take, buddy.
Yeah, but he's available, so you know there is that receiving depth. But you know we kind of teased this a little bit earlier in the week. We are going to be doing an ESPN fantasy football league since Frankie is a little child and only wanted to do SVN because he was too lazy to download anything else onto his phone.
Shane, okay, no.
I am in three different fantasy leagues on three different platforms.
You'll know for next year. Just run them all on ESPN.
I just joined one, which is on Yahoo. I decided to do, and then I was invited to one, which was on NFL, and then we're doing this on ESPN. So, not my fault on this. I'm only the commissioner of one league. And that was because you wanted it on ESPN, because you're a little child.
I am a little child. Thank you very much for pointing that out, Shane.
I mean, you're a big child, let's be honest.
Fair enough. So are you.
I'm 23. I don't think I count as a child anymore.
Okay. Now... Does fantasy football work? Do they have it in the CFL?
Yeah, the TSN fantasy football. We were planning on doing it this year if there was a season. We will run it next year if there is a season.
Yeah. So yeah, well, this is just kind of our replacement for now.
Yeah. My team on like one of them. friggin' stacked.
Four-man league?
No, I think it's a 10-man league.
Okay.
It's a keeper league. Oh. So I let Saquon Barkley go because I didn't trust the Giants' offense. I feel like they would be too easy to stop, so I didn't.
Who do you have then?
I have Russell Wilson. I kept Russell Wilson and James Conner because I feel like with Big Ben in Pittsburgh, it'll take pressure off Conner and he'll be able to be more of an explosive back.
So James Conner's your starting running back.
So this is my starting right now. I got Russell Wilson at quarterback, James Conner, Sony Michel at running back, Tyler Lockett, Stephon Diggs, George Kittle as my receiver and tight end. My receiver running back flex is Gallup out of Dallas. Gonzalez at kicker out of Arizona. I got the Steelers defense. My bench is Tom Brady. I picked Tom Brady up in the 7th round. My first quarterback outside of Wilson. I was like, he's available. I'm going to take him. You know, that offense is going to be deadly. You would now add in the Fournette.
Maybe. They might also just go 9-7.
I don't care what the record is. I just want him to put up points. You know, you have Gronk. You have, Evans.
Leonard Fournette just signed Fournette, there. They insist he's not the starting running back. We know that's bullshit.
Yeah, so, like, that offense is going to be killer. So, obviously, I snaked Brady easily. I got Travis Cohen and James White as my backup running backs.
Oh, Tariq?
Yeah.
In Chicago? Okay. Yeah.
Tariq Cohen, you know, great flex player. I think he's going to play a lot of – he's going to be in flex a lot. I got Robbie Anderson, Jerry Jeudy as my bench receivers.
Okay.
And Eric Ebron as my bench tight end.
This is – let me just ask you a question. Tell me that the Bills or the Patriots defense was not in play or not available when you picked the Steelers defense.
They were. I was the first player to pick a defense.
And you picked the Steelers.
Yeah. Most sacks in a season. They had 54 sacks last year and like 20 interceptions. And they've just gotten better. They haven't really.
My guy just keeps disrespecting my Buffalo Bills.
I was going to take them. They were going to be my next defense available. Like if they were available, I was going to have two defense. I was going to run two defenses and the Bills are going to be there, but someone took them already. But no, like, Steelers, you know, 20, I think they had like 20 interceptions as a defense last year and 54 sacks.
Yeah, well, you pick up Minka Fitzpatrick, I mean.
Yeah, and I don't see why they have no reason to regress. If anything, they should be better. They've added a couple of players. I think the Steelers defense is going to be top five in the league.
Either way here,
they might give up a lot of yards, but I think their biggest problem last year was their lack of offense. And if Big Ben is healthy for the full year, if James Washington makes strides, Chase Claypool has seemed to become a favorite target of Big Ben. I think that defense can thrive if they're not on the field as often.
Yeah. So like Shane said, we've got that fantasy league going. If you want to join, send us a DM or whatever. Let us know.
We'll be posting it. By the time this episode airs, it'll be probably probably like 12 to 1 between 12 and 1 o'clock we'll post the information. It's a first come first serve. There'll be 13 spots available as one of our writers, Tyson, will be joining. It is free. There is no payment or anything.
Yeah, we got a couple of guys. I think we're, as far as like getting friends and family and our writers in, I think all in we're at like 5 or something right now.
Yeah. So
But first, that being said,
first come, first serve. I don't care who you are. Frankie and I are in. The draft will be held September 8th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, 2 days before the regular season kicks off. So plenty of time. We'll post that sometime Friday, probably between 12 and 1.
But before we get to our last little segment, I think we're going to start making our episodes a little bit shorter. We're kind of deciding between one 1-hour episode a week and 2 30-minute episodes a week. We've both kind of pitched those. If you've got any feedback on those, let us know. But that being said, I think also, Shane, I'm going to try to do something that'll help us feature Canadian talent or CFL talent in the NFL as the season gets going, whether that's posting highlights from that player in the game or having a watch along on Facebook or something. I'm looking into that too. So that's also in the future. But I think our last thing for today, Shane, is talking about how the CFL can stay relevant during their time off, and especially with the NFL season coming up.
Yeah, so guys, this is gonna be a short episode, apparently, according to Frankie. You know, at the time, we're not even like, I don't know, not even 20 minutes in, and we're talking about the last segment. God damn.
Hey, 30-minute episodes, they go by quick.
Well, we're only halfway through. We're not even... Okay.
Hey, Shane, look, if I know you, I know that you can take a point and make it an hour-long conversation, okay?
That is very true. I am good at that.
I'm being very, very proactive with this.
I don't know what you're talking about. Man, the Blue Jays suck.
Oh, yikes.
Two outs, two on.
Hey, speaking of Toronto sports, OG Anunoby's an absolute clutch,
2-1 Boston. Get out of here. Choke artist. Continuing the Toronto trend. Look, choking in the playoffs.
Half a second away from it being 3-0. So
choking
they have
in
life.
The playoffs.
They won last year.
Yeah, because of Kawhi.
And?
There's no Kawhi. Choking.
Hey, Shane, who do you cheer for now?
I don't actually have a team. I want Jamal Murray to do well because he's Canadian.
Uh-huh. My guy's a Nuggets fan now.
I mean, ask anyone. I've always been high on the Nuggets. I'm a Jamal Murray fan. I'm a Damian Lillard fan.
But he wasn't so high on the Nuggets when he was a Portland fan about a week ago.
Yeah, because I wanted to be I was a Damian Lillard fan. I didn't care about... Honestly, that Utah Nuggets series, I didn't care who won because I love Mitchell and I love Murray. So I just want them to ball out. I don't even care who wins.
You know what? Honestly, too, I think it's kind of accentuating how disappointing it is to not have a CFL season right now, because sports inside the bubbles
are
have
so
been
much fun.
Amazing. They've been fantastic games, high energy, and close for the most part. And even in baseball, outside of the bubble, games have been very entertaining.
Yeah, well,
so it would have been nice
and
to have
the
CFL.
Jays are doing the same thing that the Leafs do, and that's constantly choke.
Shane, I don't know what you're on about here. Are the Jays not like a half game back of the Yankees right now?
Yeah, the Yankees have been choking.
It doesn't matter.
But it does.
The Yankees are supposed to be winning
the
World Series.
They're also injuries. Like, pretty sure
the Blue Jays
I'm pretty sure like Stanton and Judge are both hurt, and they've just been like riddled with injuries.
But here's the thing you're missing. I don't care. All right, Shane. I don't need this negativity in my life from you anymore.
It's not negativity.
But anyway, okay, so now I think you might be starting to see why I said that we're going to go into our final segment, because all of a sudden, here we are.
Oh,
about
yo,
5
question,
minutes after I said
question.
That.
Did you get the survey from the Ottawa 67s about what you feel comfortable with as they plan for fans in the stands come December?
I did not. That would have went to my grandfather. So I'll have to ask for that.
I don't know. I got sent it directly to me, but definitely do it because like, it's a great survey. I think that's what they need to do. That's exactly what they need to do. That's something the CFL team should be sending out to their season ticket holders. And they're just their casual fans who signed up for their newsletter and whatnot to see what they're comfortable with. Cause the Quebec Junior Hockey League, Major Junior Hockey League, pretty sure is starting up October 1st. The Maritime teams, like the Atlantic teams, are playing each other, and the Quebec teams are playing each other in a 60-game season, I'm pretty sure.
Do you wanna run through this survey real quick?
Sure. I mean, I did it when I was at work, but like, sure.
Fair enough, but a little bit of a spice to this episode. I know this isn't CFL, but this applies to the CFL in June.
Yeah, this applies to sports. So if you're a sports fan wanting to get back into sports and go back to live games, this is what it's for.
Yeah. So question number one, do you a plan on attending a game in December or June for the CFL?
I mean, I have other things going on, but I would like to go to a 67th game.
If you were able to go.
If I'm able to go, yeah, I would go to a 67th game in December.
100%. I'm on board with that.
Hell, I'll go to their home opener if I can.
Would you attend more or less games than you did previously?
Probably less, but that's not because of COVID.
Yeah. I have to go with attend about the same amount because I think I missed maybe four games.
Last year I think I went to like six, so maybe like probably like if I want to make at least four in a shortened season. Because I'm assuming that they would go from 68 to 60 games or something like
it's
that.
It's 62.
Is it? Because I know the Quebec League's 60.
I believe they're playing... No, actually, they're going to play a full season.
Why? That makes no sense.
They're playing 68 starting in December.
That makes no sense.
So, previously you would only play two games a week, right? You can pretty easily turn that up to four.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like if the Quebec League is playing 60, you may as well just play at 60.
Yeah, well, the Quebec League's also playing earlier, so they want to get more games in, I guess. I'm not too sure. This is a hockey conversation anyway. What are some things that make you feel more at ease at a sporting event, be it in December or in June?
I put down just guidelines enforced. I don't want guidelines there and then not being enforced. Obviously, there's going to be, you know, things that slip through the cracks, like everything. But I think that's one thing that if most people can get behind is that if you're going to a game and the guidelines are, you know, you can't, because I know I'm gonna reference the Quebec League a lot because they've already started, fans are back in the stands. You can't walk around the concourse. You have to wear a mask anywhere besides your seat. You know, there's I think they're up to 25% capacity.
At Quebec games?
Yeah, in the Quebec League.
I was under the impression there was no fans at all for them this year.
There is.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah, at least in the Atlantic. At least for the Atlantic, okay. Canada.
I think in Quebec they've said no.
Yeah, I mean, they're part of the same league.
Well, right, but different provinces have different policies
so
and stuff, right?
It sounds like the Maritime teams are playing against each other, 25% capacity for their games, but you can't walk around on the concourse.
Yep.
Outside of just going to the bathroom or to grab food from the concession stands, you have to wear your mask anywhere that you're not seated. Masks don't need to be worn at your seats. Every second row of seats will be vacant.
You don't have to wear your mask at your seat.
Yeah.
Now that makes no sense to me.
Provorov won. Provorov wins it for... the Flyers. Sorry, I just saw the notification. I guess their thinking is that they're, you know, since you don't have to wear a mask when you're eating, right? Like if you go to a restaurant, you go to the mall, you sit down, you can take your mask off, right?
Fair enough.
It's the same kind of, the same rules would apply.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because what are you going to do? Have them take off their mask every time they want to have a bite of their pizza?
Well, no, I think it's reasonable to say that you can take your mask off while you're eating, but after you're done eating, put it back on.
But I'm assuming that they would have like every second seat or every third seat, there would be.
I guess so.
Like you would have like one or two seats between each person, and then you would have the row separating people. So like,
see that's interesting because for me, if people are in their seats with no mask on, it would make me less likely to attend. Even though I'd probably still go, I'd be more concerned about going.
See, I don't think maybe it's because I work in food, and you know, there is contact tracing and whatnot, and you would have the non-touch thermostat checks when you get in and whatnot, the stupid checklist that they would have to do.
We won't get into why that stuff doesn't always work.
No,
because I think we all know why it doesn't.
No, but everything, nothing is 100%. Foolproof.
No, exactly. That's the problem here.
But like, you know, I wouldn't have an issue with it because maybe it's because I'm surrounded by it all day. You know, I work in food, so having people come in and sit down without their masks on, to me, going to a game and having someone sitting two rows behind me wouldn't bother me.
Fair enough. We'll go to question four here, and we won't give much of an explanation for these ones because it's self-explanatory. We'll just run through them. Just give an answer. Less likely to attend, no difference, or more likely to attend hand-washing or hand-sanitizing stations throughout the arena.
More likely.
Or stadium. More likely for me as well. Extreme sanitization and cleaning at venues, including washrooms.
More likely. To be fair, they should do that.
That should be doing anyway.
Yeah, that's COVID or no COVID. That's just standard.
Yeah, those bathrooms are disgusting if you don't. Food workers required to wear a mask. That should be happening.
That's always right happening. Now. But I guess it's just one of those things where, like, would you feel like how comfortable are you with this policy, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, normally I don't think it's a big deal that they wear a mask or not, but right now they should be. So, contactless payment for admissions, food, and merchandise.
Yeah. Which they have.
I'd put that at no difference, honestly, as long as there's hand sanitizing all over the place.
To be fair, like, it's no different than they already have, right? Just paying with tap right. and whatnot. Like,
exactly.
You know? So.
Contactless security screening at entrances. More likely. I don't want someone feeling me up during a pandemic, you know?
Fair enough.
All event workers required to wear a mask.
Yeah.
More likely. Enforcement of social distancing at entry points and purchase points. More likely.
Yeah.
Enforcement of social distancing between attendees. More likely. Again, yeah. I'm not going to a place that's not socially distanced if I don't have to. All attendees required to wear a mask. Absolutely. Body temperature checks upon entry. That should be happening. Germ-resistant materials on most surfaces. Probably more likely. I'm not exactly sure on what germ-resistance materials are. But
I have no idea.
Yeah. Attendance limited to smaller sizes to allow more social distancing. More likely. That's pretty obvious, I think. So, no-touch digital communication upon entry, if available, which I guess is just, like, tickets and stuff. More VIP experiences or premium options. I don't think that makes any difference. And then the rest of them are just like promotional stuff. So I think most of the things that have listed here, we're going to end up seeing no matter what, the arena is or the venue is or the sport is or when it's happening. Right. I think most of those things we will see in stadiums for the CFL next year as well.
And I think here's an important thing. And people talking about, like, I've seen people like, oh, if they can play, you know, with fans in the stands in December, why couldn't they do this in June? And it's like, because we finally know what we need to do to put fans in the stands.
Yeah.
Like, was it March that the OHL stopped? The OHL stopped in March.
Yes.
And they're going to play in December. That's what, 7 months, 8 months? Six to 8 months between their last game and their first game. So yes, it's taken them that long to figure it out. There's no guarantee that the NHL will have fans. No guarantee the NBA will have fans. Also,
no, the NBA and the NHL are talking about doing bubbles again next year.
Yeah. So because, and this is the thing that I have an issue with for the OHL and the Western Hockey League, and the CFL doesn't really need to worry about it. But for as sports fans, you know, there's constant border travel.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are you going to do if you're the OHL or the WHL and you have teams in the States and they're constantly coming up and down? Those are things that need to be looked at.
Yeah.
But I also don't see the NHL going to a bubble next year.
I can see them in multiple cluster cities.
Maybe, but I even then, I don't think so. I think they'll run the risk of traveling.
Possibly. But that's about it for that that survey. Everything else was just relevant to the 67s.
So. It was just all promotional stuff. And
yeah.
Oscar Hernandez walked off. Or no, 3-run shot at the top of the 10th.
Hey, you know what, man? I got to say, I hate Teoscar Hernandez and just about every other... If Teoscar Hernandez isn't holding a bat, he's useless. So it's a good thing he's damn good with that stick.
Why does the pitcher look like he's 16?
All right, Shane, remember when I said we're going to head into our last segment?
Yeah.
So that was now 15 minutes ago. So let's actually head into our last segment.
Hey, you were saying what would make the CFL more, you know, involve
or keep it relevant during its time off.
Yeah, and I, you know, that survey would help make it relevant.
Oh, you think so?
100%. Because at least you're showing fans that you're planning a 2021 season with fans in the stands.
That's an interesting take. I'm not going to say that I disagree with that. I think it would.
How would you feel if you went, I don't know, 10 months without hearing about what the CFL wants from the fans? How would you feel as a fan if the CFL wasn't like, hey, we're thinking about having fans in the stands. Let's hear from those fans. And just did things without talking to the fans about it. How would you feel?
Oh, for sure. Do you think they're going to do that now, though?
Honestly,
we're what, 10 months away from actually being inside those doors?
Why not? There's nothing wrong with sending out multiple surveys over the next 10 months to see where people are at.
That's fair enough.
Like, you send out one now, see where people are feeling, like, you know, and then you send out one in February, see where people are feeling, and then you send out one in April, see what people are feeling. You send it out three times, you can, it's just about calculating the data and having multiple different, you know, data entries to base your decisions off of. Because let's say, you know, you send it out three times and, you know, out of the, let's say just 10,000 people respond. And because you don't get any names or anything. So you get 10,000 people. And one of the questions is, would you feel safer with hand sanitizing everywhere? Like hand sanitizer stations everywhere. And, you know, you have 30,000 people and, you know, 90% of them say yes. Why, like, you know, that's a lot of people. So you're obviously going to put it in. And if someone, you know, if you have a question, something basic, like, I don't know. What was one of the basic questions in the survey? Super simple.
Stuff like, what of these things would make you feel safer and stuff? And, you know, they just run through the stuff.
And if one of those answers came back, you know, out of those 30%, 30,000 and like, you know, 85-80% say it doesn't make a difference. Well, you're probably not going to put it in.
See, I wonder though, in regards to that survey, I wonder how many, what it actually matters if those people say it, they don't think it matters. I think it more so matters that they, people say that it does.
What I'm saying is that if it does, so, you should say it does.
Right. And if people say they don't care about the temperature checks at the door, I think we'll see them anyway. It's just a matter if the CFL doesn't think those temperature checks matter and people say, I want people's temperature taken before they come into the doors.
Then you do.
Then they'll do it.
And that's how it should be.
So I think we will see, unless there is a vaccine between now and then, which the way things are going could happen. Things are looking promising on that front, but I think we will see majority of the protocols followed anyway. I think we'll be inside of the stadiums with masks on after a temperature check, after being screened at the doors. I think we'll be mostly socially distant. I think we'll probably be at about 50% when the season starts next year.
Wow, you're going 50? And I'm saying 25.
I think 50 to 25, but I also think that at a place like TD Place, they have the ability to expand. So I think we'll see some expansion, and you'll see about 50% of the normal capacity. You'll see about 10 to 12,000 people there.
Hey, Toronto would fit right in.
Yeah, Toronto could socially distance everybody in their current stadium, and they'd probably still have about 5,000 seats left open.
Probably.
But this is not, I don't like making those Argos jokes, because I know there's diehard Argos fans out there, and I know there's passion for the CFL in Toronto. They just hate the Argos. So.
Yeah, so why can't we make them the butt end of the jokes?
Because I feel bad for them, Shane, because they
do
can't
you feel
deny
bad?
It.
Do you feel bad when you make make Ottawa the butt end of jokes for the Senators?
No.
Well, then why the fuck do you feel bad for the Argos?
Because I don't hate the Argos.
Yeah, well, Max Domi isn't going to be in Montreal very long, so it's fine.
Hey, buddy, he's an RFA, so whatever you want to trade us, go for it. But that being said, I think more than just surveys are needed here.
Well, no,
I think some more promotional stuff is needed. I think, honestly, too, we were talking about doing it. I was talking with Dave, one of our writers, about potentially doing a little bit of a segment that I'm not going to spill the beans on a little bit here because we haven't confirmed anything.
Get your pizza ready.
I think it would be nice to see what some of these players do during their time. So maybe we get like a little mini YouTube series or something where they send a little a small camera crew out to a player's house or something, and they follow them around for the day. We find out some of their hobbies. You know,
where are you getting the money out of this?
Where?
Where are we getting this money from?
I don't know. Maybe you just have somebody do some Zoom interviews and you have them record something on their phone, right?
Talking about having a freaking camera crew follow these guys around.
Well, okay, we're talking about two guys.
Friggin' like $1 million friggin' production over here.
No, we're talking about two guys going out with.
How are we gonna pay these guys? We don't have the money for that.
Okay. Chill. But I think it would be nice to know a little bit more about our players. Like, you still have the guys under contract, so send somebody out there on their fishing trip
Let's do a workout, like, series.
You lost me.
Yeah, well, I mean, we both could go for a good workout.
I won't, though.
But, no, I think we saw the CFL, you know, players are very open with their training regimens. I think it'd be kind of cool. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know, I can't remember who it was that we were talking to, but somebody was saying that they had like a workout session with a bunch of kids. Was it Charleston Hughes?
I don't remember. We've talked to so many guys.
Yeah, somebody that we talked to said that they were doing that. That I thought is super cool.
You know, I just want to get back on the field and do some one-on-ones. I am tired of the gym. I'm tired of running. I just want to hit people.
Hey, man, you know what? Before the season got canceled, too, I was down at Lansdowne taking some pictures. And creepy. I think I saw Nick Arbuckle going into the Red Blacks facility, and I didn't even recognize him. But I think it was him. So
I just want to go out and friggin' hit people. That's all I want to do. I want to go out.
Yeah.
Get on. I don't even care about pads. I'll do it without pads. I don't care. I just want to hit
people. Go walk on for an NFL team.
No, I'm going to walk on for the Red Blacks. Straight up. I don't even care. Next summer, I hope, for the love of God, the CFL wants to be relevant again. Have local friggin' training camps. Like, and not training camps.
Field walk-ons?
Yeah. Like, have
open tryouts.
Open tryouts. In your city, not in friggin' Florida or Tallahassee. Have them, I mean, have them in there too, obviously, but like, have them in Canada.
Yeah, that never made any sense to me.
You want to give people a chance to experience the CFL, give them a chance to try out.
Or at least organize, have the CFL organize one open tryout that is attended by the teams in every province.
How did Lewis get on? Because he was technically a walk-on.
Lewis Ward?
Yeah, did he go down and do like an actual tryout? I don't know.
Good question. We'll have to talk to him about that.
Yeah.
Because I don't know the full story there. But I know he was at minicamp and he beat out... I can't remember his name, but there was a guy that kicked for the Tiger Cats that he beat out.
I don't remember.
And it pretty much came down to keeping Lewis Ward or Richie Leone or
was it
no.
Either way, no. Next season, if there's open tryouts, I don't care if it's in Montreal, Toronto, or Ottawa, I'm going. Hell, I'll go to all three.
Yeah, go for it. But yeah, I think the base of the Grey Cup was a great thing. I don't know if we talked about this, but each team is also going to be displaying your name inside of the stadium.
Yeah, in their own unique way.
Right. So we don't know what any of those teams are doing yet. I'm sure we'll see some pretty cool things. I'm oddly interested to see what Saskatchewan is doing. Because Saskatchewan does some cool stuff, Shane.
Well, yeah, they have nothing better to do out there.
Shane, you can't diss all of our fans.
I'm not.
If you go and you insult every fan base, you will cover everybody that listens to our show.
Okay, but I haven't. I've only dissed Saskatchewan and Toronto. That's it. It's only two out of the nine teams.
You're going to diss all the other teams eventually, so I'm just going to stop you before you get
there. Why would I diss... I always diss Saskatchewan. It's kind of what I do. This cat needs to go away and stop bugging me.
Yeah.
But like, you know, what else are they going to do? They don't have hockey right now.
Yeah.
Literally the only thing in Saskatchewan to do is go to a Pats game or a Rough Riders game. Or a Blades.
Well, it could work. You can work.
Yeah, but work isn't usually fun. The only kind of entertainment they get is like those three teams.
Honestly, though, I was really looking forward to going to Saskatchewan this year. That would have been an absolute hell of a time.
See, I was looking forward to go to Montreal. I was trying to get a James Wilder and Tony Washington signatures.
Yeah, man. You know what? Honestly, we've talked to some players, like we said in the past, and you guys have heard in the past. I'm kind of excited to meet some of them in person, especially Charleston Hughes.
I want to line up. Shane
brings him his surfboard.
I want to line up against him. I wanted to go one-on-one against Charleston Hughes.
Okay, but Shane, you told him you're going to bring him a surfboard.
Yeah. I was going to throw surfboard on the field if he were to get a sack against Ottawa. But guess what? Yeah. No season, so no surfboard. And he was going to give me $500 to do it.
We'll have to remind him of that
one. Just play the episode. It's there. But no, I want to line
up. I won't do that. That requires a lot of effort.
I would love to go one-on-one against Charleston Hughes. I would lose greatly. Don't get me wrong. I would end up flat on my ass at least the first three times.
Are we going out of 10?
Yeah.
You'd be on your ass 11 times.
That's not true. Also, actually, maybe depends on what side. Is he coming from the right or the left? Because if I'm left...
It doesn't matter.
No, it does. Because I'm a stronger...
Straight through your chest.
No, because if he's coming through me on the right side, I stand a better chance than if he's coming through me from the left. I'm a better right tackle than I am a left tackle, but I'm a better guard. So I want to go up against like a guy like Ted Laurent. Ted Laurent would be fun.
We're going to set this up, you know.
Yeah, that's fine. I will go against anyone. I don't care how bad I look. I will beat you at least once. I don't care.
And you'll run around the field and celebrate like you won the Grey Cup, won't you?
100%. Yo, what I'm going to do is I'm going to use this as film to get myself on a team. Bro, I'm like 6'4", 300. I can move. Get me on a field and I will make it work.
All right, Charleston, I'm going to be reaching out to you in a couple of days anyway, so... if you're here for whatever reason, Shane's taking you on. He's challenging you.
Yo, Nick Arbuckle.
I want you to come out here. Nick Arbuckle. I want you to put the man in his place.
Nick Arbuckle, if you're listening and you need a center to practice with, holler at me. I'll help you out.
I think you got to holler at Nick Arbuckle, just so you know.
Probably.
But that being said, when you complained about a half hour ago that we were going to be way short, this is exactly why I said that a half hour ago. Thank you very much, Shane. But yeah, just to recap though, don't forget we are running that fantasy football league. You'll be able to join. Draft is Tuesday night at 7:30, I think Shane said.
Yeah, September 8th. So at 7:30, all details will be given to you if you sign up. When you sign up, first come, first serve basis. If you snooze, you lose. You'll have, honestly, once you get the notification, once we give you the link,
invite.
The invite, do not wait to accept it, please, for the love of God. If you, like, there will be a time limit set. If you do not receive, if you do not accept the notification or acknowledge the notification, you would be like, hey, okay, I'll do this in a bit, like when I get home, we will move on to another person.
Shane, you're so mean.
I don't have time to wait. If we have 14 spots and there's 17 people interested and three of them don't answer right away and there's three other people there, I'd be like, hey, cool. You don't want to do it? I got three people that do. They're willing to respond right away. Here you go. They join. Well, sucks to suck, buddy.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I mean, even if you can, if you're going to be active, you can come out, you know, pick the first couple of rounds of the draft at the very least. Auto draft can do the rest for you after that. But yeah, I mean, if I don't have the first overall pick, I'm going to be just a little bit upset, Shane. So you might want to rig that for me.
No, I'm going to get, it's going to be a snake draft. So if you draft first in the first round, I mean, just to screw with Frankie, I might just do linear and make sure he drafts 10th
or 16th. If you do that, Shane, I swear to God, I will kick your ass.
No, you won't.
In fantasy football.
No, you won't.
In your fantasy football, I'll kick your ass.
Sure. But anyways, let's end this episode before I continue to rant about everything. Yep. But thank you guys for listening. I know it was only one episode this week. Let us know if you want 2 30-minute episodes, 1 hour long episode. Just so you know, we are accepting advertisement. If you know anyone who wants to get in on it, we're doing advertisement on our Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, on our website, and on the podcast. So if you're interested, shoot us an email, shoot us a DM. Let us know. We'll work something out. But thank you guys again for listening. Remember, we got our website, 13th Man Podcast, Redbubble store. We do have a Challenge Racism and just Black Lives Matter collection on there. All profits from those collections will go directly into a charity that I believe has already been selected, if I remember Frankie.
Yes, but I have also forgotten the name, so let me pull it up real quick.
We're special.
I'm really slow. I've had a lot of things going through my head in the last couple of weeks, so it is
the only kind of running he does.
My DM is way down. So it is going to the Black Business and Professional Association.
Yes, helping Black business and all across Canada.
Yeah.
So again, all profits from our Challenge Racism and our Black Lives Matter collection on Redbubble will be going to that organization, and it will be doing so as long as we're selling it. So definitely order it up. Got a great stuff, masks. Links are on our website. So just front page, they'll send you right there.
Yeah.
For myself, you can find me at Shane_Ryan97, Frankie at 613 Frankie,
which might be changing soon. Who really knows?
You do, clearly.
I don't know what I'm going to change.
Remember, you can follow my other podcast at Suns_Hour, Frankie's Hockey Podcast, HPR, and obviously the 13th Man Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thank you guys for listening. We will catch you back here sometime next week with a brand new episode of the 13th Man Podcast. We will have fantasy specials, so you'll want to stay tuned for that.